We're officially halfway through our study. We're heading into chapter 3, six-part study through the book of Ruth. It's a beautiful love story, and it is God's love story for his people, the love of a woman for her mother-in-law and a man for that woman. It's a historic story. We're seeing the truth that God draws near to those who draw near to him, and let's be encouraged again with that truth today. The first episode in the book of Ruth, back in chapter 1, gives the tragic result of Naomi's husband taking their family east, out of the promised land, over into the land of Moab. It was a time of famine. He gave up, apparently, on the kindness and provision and promises of God to sustain his people. He took matter into his own hands. He led his family away from God's care over into the land of the enemy, where he died once he got over there. And then his two sons married Moabite women, and then they died. So episode 2 shows Naomi, who is somewhat in her husband's mindset. It looks to me that she is at least somewhat in her husband's mindset, but she has a homing signal. There is a bell that begins to ring that draws her back to Bethlehem, and she takes with her Ruth, her Moabite daughter-in-law. Remember, she encouraged her two daughters to go back to their people and to go back to their gods instead of coming with her. But Ruth clung to her and said that she would never leave her. Remember, Naomi gets back. She's bitter because of what she feels God is doing to her unfairly. God is unfairly afflicting her. And she blames him four times in four different phrases in that portion. Ruth, on the other hand, humbles herself. Remember, she takes on the role of a beggar. She goes out to glean in the barley harvest of the Bethlehem co-op, and she happens, I love that word, that's a motif that occurs in this book, she happens into the field of a man named Boaz, who happens to be a wealthy male relative of Naomi's. Last Sunday, we saw when Ruth came face to face with the man who turned out to be God's solution, this relative named Boaz, a good man, a godly man, and God's good man shows Ruth kindness after kindness. She happened into the barley field, happened into his part of the barley field. He happens to come out from Jerusalem that day to check on what's going on, and happens to be a kind and good man. He shows her kindness. He becomes a provider for Ruth and in turn for Naomi, because after she ate, there were leftovers. She takes them home to her mom. She has a large portion of barley that she takes home. So now they've got meals for a number of days here. And we learn that God rewards those who pursue righteousness righteously. God rewards those who pursue righteousness righteously. This week, Ruth chapter 3, Naomi sends Ruth out in pursuit of redemption. In pursuit of redemption. So Naomi, seeing God's blessing on Ruth's humble, hard work in Boaz's section of the barley field, and seeing Boaz respond generously to her. It was about 30 pounds of winnowed barley that she went home with that day. Naomi points out that he is a possible goel, is the word, goel, a kinsman redeemer. Naomi, in her not quite yet all the way back to God thinking, hashes a plan or a plot or a rush job, kind of an end run here, to hurry what she perceives is an opportunity to reel in a real catch of a man in Boaz. It seems to me that she's running ahead of God. She seeks to bring about, under the cover of darkness, what should have been done in the light of day. But righteousness shines the light of God into all dark. Right? Righteousness dispels unrighteousness. Light dispels darkness. And the first five verses of chapter 3, we see Ruth's plan for redemption. Weeks have passed since chapter 2. Ruth has continued gleaning behind the barley harvesters. Naomi interprets her prosperity in Boaz's field as having amazing potential. Upside progress is possible here. So she hatches this plan that she feels will nudge Ruth and Boaz in, let's call it, a nuptial direction. But her plan had the possibility of catastrophe. Verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may go well with you?" Notice she's leaving herself out there. You think she's really leaving herself out there? "It may go well with you. Now is not Boaz our kinsman?" This is not the word Goel yet. "With whose maids you were. Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." Okay, from what we know, the barley harvest is coming to an end. The grain was gathered in by this time. The winnowing, that's the tossing it up in the air, letting the chaff blow away. The winnowing would have been completed. At the end of the harvest, there'd be a real big celebration on the threshing floor, after which the workers of Boaz would sleep at the threshing hold in order to guard the harvest until it could be stored. Anyway, there's going to be a big celebration. The men, they're going to sleep out. This is generally a men's only celebration. They're going to sleep out, and they're going to guard the harvest that they have now winnowed up so that it can be stored, probably starting the next day. So Naomi, her intro sounds real selfless. I mean, she's thinking about Ruth. This is for Ruth's well-being. It's for Ruth's security. And believe me, we would really like to give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, really? But her instructions look a little shady. They just look a little bit shadier. Remember that Jesus said in John chapter 3, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So she's planning something to occur at night. Verse 3. "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And you may fire me this afternoon. We were talking about this passage just 2 weeks ago in the adult Sunday school class over here. And we're coming into a section of this story that is real questionable. And it may not be the way you've heard it in the past. And I know that a lot of stuff we believe is because somebody that we greatly admire told us that that's the way it was. So I'm going to climb out on a Bible limb here, and I'm going to hand you the saw this morning. There's either one of two interpretations here. Either Ruth is telling Ruth to bring her time of mourning to an end, making herself available to Mary. So she's either telling her to put away her mourning clothes here, so that it'll be demonstrated to everybody that she's now available to be courted and to marry. Or she is suggesting that Ruth get all dolled up to crash a guys only gathering. Okay, I have to be careful with this, where prostitutes were known to visit. You remember, Naomi's thinking is not all the way back, right? It's not all the way back. She's moving ahead. She's pushing ahead. The word close there in the third line. The word close, and let me tell you, because this is such a tricky passage, I've bored deep into the Hebrew text here. I have not wasted any time at all on superfluous stuff, folks. I've really dug into the Hebrew here. And so I just want you to know that this gets a little steamy according to what the first Hebrews would understand it as. The word close translates the Hebrew word simla. It is the feminine form of a covering that takes on the shape of whatever the form is that is beneath it. Right? This is a close wrap. It's a close wrap. Take a bath. Anoint yourself with fragrant oil. Wrap yourself in a garment that shows your womanly figure. Conceal yourself. Why the need to conceal herself until Boaz is dined and wined? There's more in verse 4. It shall be that when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do. So after he's had his fill of food and wine, after he goes to the place where he plans to sleep, go all cleaned up, all perfumed up in your best shapely outfit, sneak in and uncover Boaz's feet and lie down and let him make the next move. Okay, here we come to the really, really sticky part of this. How do we understand Naomi's introduction to uncover Boaz's feet? So this is the talk that we were having 2 weeks ago. This is why I really bored in to the text, because I want us to understand what the first audience, the very first hearers of this story would have understand. And Hebrew readers would have understood it the way I'm going to try to explain it to you today. So here we go. The same Hebrew word translated here as feet can be read feet. Okay? Just feet. In other places in Scripture, it refers to part of the human body that is below the waist belt. Okay? We got children here. Isaiah 7:20, there it reads legs. Ezekiel 16:25, it reads legs in a very X-rated way. Daniel 10:6, some of the translations say feet. The New International Version and the English Standard Version, English Standard, I think is a really good translation, reads legs, equaling the lower body. You can see how this could look very bad. The ancient Hebrew reader would understand that Naomi is suggesting more to Ruth than checking out whether Boaz is wearing Nike sandals or Reebok sandals, or, you know, she's not looking, according to what Naomi is suggesting here, just to see if Boaz has got his sandals on or if he's genuinely barefooted out there. Look, Ruth has given herself wholeheartedly to Naomi's son. She's given herself wholeheartedly to Naomi and to Naomi's people and to the God of the Hebrews. She's given herself wholeheartedly and righteously to gleaning barley. And it is very possible, and some would say likely, that in her not yet fully restored heart and thinking, Naomi may be suggesting that Ruth offer herself wholly to Boaz. Verse 5, and she said to her, all that you say, I will do. Okay, that says to me that Ruthie's got something in mind that Naomi is suggesting. All that you say, I will do. which leads us to Ruth's proposal of redemption. Her proposal of redemption. Verse 6. So she went down and did, watch this, did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And he came secretly, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. Be sure you notice that line. I highlighted it there. Verse 6, did according to. It's critical that we understand that phrase is critical to our understanding of what's going on in this passage. It translates the word asa, the Hebrew word asa, which means to do or make in the broadest sense and widest application. She's going to do what her mother-in-law told her, but only the exact words. Only what you say. I'm going to do all that you say. See, Ruth is risking her so far righteous reputation in Bethlehem. Per Naomi's instruction, she gets all fixed up. She sneaks up to the threshing floor. She locates Boaz, sleeping off his dinner and drinks. She pulls back his cloak off of his feet. Then she lies down close. And she waits. She waits. She waits. You know, Boaz is asleep, but you gotta know that Ruthie is wide awake. Verse 8. It happened. Woo! I love that phrase. Haven't we seen that earlier in the book? And it happened that they came back to Bethlehem, and it happened that Ruthie went out to humble herself in the role of a humble servant to glean in Boaz's field. And it happened that Boaz happened to come down, and these happenings happened. You know what that is, right? That's God's intervention, folks. God is bringing about. He is bringing about his wonderful intent. Sometimes God does that. He divinely invades human intentions in order to achieve what his intent in fact is. We see that in chapter 2. Boaz happens to be a righteous man. He's fallen asleep after becoming merry. Probably doesn't mean he's absolutely fallen down drunk, but he's on the happy side of center. Whatever that would be. He's become merry, and he's eaten a nice meal there at the harvest party. 8 and 9, it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" She answered him, "I am Ruth, your maid, so spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." See, God steps in here, folks. Naomi's instructions in verse 4, he will tell you what to do, evaporate right here. Right? Everything changes. God has changed the scenario in that phrase, and it happened. It's not luck. It's not just luck. It's not just coinkydink here, folks. God is involved. Righteous Ruth did all but only what Naomi said. All but only. Absent from any unrighteous insinuation that Naomi may have intended. Absent any unrighteousness. There, okay, Boaz is startled awake. He finds next to him a fragrant, shapely, younger woman lying next to his uncovered feet. "Who are you?" Wait a minute. That's not how Naomi said it would come, it would go down. Naomi said, "He will tell you what to do," but he tells her nothing. So righteous Ruth righteously improvises. Verse 9, he said, "Who are you?" She said, and she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." She replies right out of Boaz's own words, and I ask you to underline this or mark it last week in chapter 2, verse 12. Remember that? Here it is. "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full, for the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." The word "wings" that Boaz used here in chapter 2, verse 12, is the exact same word translated "covering" in chapter 3, verse 9. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. Ruthie, what are you thinking, sweetheart? You're off script. You're like way off script. You're improvising. Naomi said, "Go, hide, uncover his feet, lie down, and he will tell you what to do next." So what does Ruth do? She happens to tell Boaz what to do. Right? She didn't ask him a question. She tells him what to do. "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your wings over me." She tells him to marry her, to become her goel. Here is the word, close relative, goel. Her redeemer. In other words, Ruth proposes to Boaz. He'll tell you what to do. He doesn't tell her anything. He asks her a question. So righteous Ruth acts righteously. She does the right thing. She tells him what to do. "Marry me, because you are my goel." So at that moment, when the whole plan could have turned real sleazy, Ruth does something really righteous. She calls on righteous Boaz to fulfill the levirate law of Deuteronomy 5:5 and following. Look it up. "Spread your wing over your maid. You are a goel." She offered herself wholeheartedly to Boaz and asks him to respond in kind, to become God's place of refuge for her. The phrase in verse 8, "it happened," changed everything. But, as in every great love story, there's a hiccup in this story, too, leading to Boaz's postponement of redemption. Verse 10. "Then he said, 'May you be blessed of the Lord.'" That's the word Jehovah. "May you be blessed of Jehovah, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after younger men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." And boy, did she just demonstrate it in the couple of verses right before this. I don't think that Naomi factored in that "and it happened." She didn't factor that in. She didn't factor in what Ruth is going to do. She didn't factor in that Ruth would respond to God in a godly way, and that Boaz would respond to God and to Ruth in a godly way. Naomi says to Ruth, "He'll tell you what to do." But Ruth tells Boaz what to do, and he says that he will do whatever she asks. And it happened that way. However, Naomi's plan may have looked like Ruth's motives were not somehow wholesome and good, but they were. And fortunately for her, Boaz is also a righteous, good man. But there's a problem. Boaz is a righteous man. It's good and it's hard. And he brings it up in verse 12. Now it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Poor, poor Ruthie. All dressed up and no place nice to go. After all that risk, there is a closer Goel than Boaz. And that means first right of redemption or first right of refusal. All that planning, all that preparation, all that risk, and the whole thing is rocking back and forth over absolute disaster. Verse 13, he says to her, remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for this good and godly man. Surely neither one of them slept a wink the rest of the night. I mean, surely they laid there awake. Righteous Boaz tells her, this must be done righteously. Which is easy for her, because Ruth is a righteous woman. That would require all of them to wait on to have patience for redemption. Delayed dreams can steal your joy. They can spoil relationships. They can cause people to give up and to give in to discouragement. Not only was Boaz unwilling to give in to temptation, somehow Ruth had to get back home with her righteous reputation intact. Verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. And again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. And she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Not only is Boaz a good and righteous man, Boaz is also a gentleman. This guy is a really class man. He gives Ruth an alibi, a legitimate alibi. If anybody sees her on her way back to Naomi's house, if anyone asks, she's just bringing home more barley. Just bringing home more barley. This was a huge amount of barley. Various scholars, measurers, decipherers of this time, they're going to say this is somewhere between 60 and 90 pounds. That's why he had to help her get it up so that she could manage it. He had to lift it up. He had to put it in place. Remember, women carriers of this kind of stuff, they would put it around their forehead like this. That was, your head was your leverage point, and they would lean forward and it would be on the base of your back there. And Bethlehem, we understand, is uphill from just about anywhere around there. Before anyone could assume the worst, righteous Boaz made it seem like the best. He sends her home untouched, unharmed, with her honor and their secret intact. Verse 16, when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Wait. There's a word that rings across scriptures, huh? Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait. wait. Ruth wholeheartedly gave herself to her husband, and he died. To Naomi, and to Naomi's God, to the role of a beggar when she went out to glean, so she offered her whole self to Boaz. Had he misread her intentions as a righteous man and sent her home, would he come through on his promise? Would her hopes die if the other, the closer kinsman redeemer claimed her? Ruth offers her total self, her whole heart, to the ways of the Hebrew God. Right? She offers her whole heart to the ways of God, and now she waits. They wait. Here's the truth of this passage. Pursue God righteously and honorable. Do all things in the light and wait on God. Right? Pursue God righteously and honorably. Do all things in the light and wait on God. That is the life of faith, isn't it? That's the life of faith. Ruth and Boaz are waiting on God's Redeemer. The Lord's Supper was a time of waiting on our Redeemer. When you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, a season of waiting on the Lord as well. And all three just happened to coincide today. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Are you waiting on God? Are you patient with him? No need to run ahead. God never shows up late. Even when his healing, even when his supply is delayed on our clock, do you and will you wait? Let's pray now. Lord, we love you so much. Lord, thank you for this story of righteousness revealed. Thank you for your hand of intervention here. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to wait. Give us the patience, Lord, to wait for you, to wait for your leading, because we're asking in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.